I guess it's me now. Our scripture lesson is from the Gospel of Luke, the 19th chapter, reading the first 10 verses. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." And then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Come, Holy Spirit, and lead us into your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. This story of Zacchaeus is a really familiar story, and a lot of times familiar stories are trouble because we know them so well. I mean, in Sunday school, if you ever went to Sunday school as a child, you had Zacchaeus climbing the tree. It may have been on a felt board with a tree. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. You know, Bible school, you know, vacation Bible school has always been there. And so it's easy just to kind of think of that childhood story and not really see what's going on in here. And so where I want to start, as I look at Zacchaeus, he was an outsider. And I want you to think about when you have felt like an outsider, that maybe you have felt in some ways that you are too different to be loved, and or especially by God, but by anyone. And I was trying to reflect on that with myself. I remember so well being a freshman in college. And growing up in Laurinburg, you know, we had our groups of friends here. And a whole lot of them went to NC State and went to University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill. I was the only one that went to Wake Forest. And so they had a whole crowd with them at school that they could continue to be friends with. But I didn't know anybody at Wake Forest. And I remember going, the cafeteria there is called The Pit for a good reason. And I remember going to that cafeteria for the first time, walking in and realizing I don't know anybody. I don't know anybody to sit with. And it was a terrible, I remember it was this awful feeling. I felt like a real outsider. And it took a while, but you know, eventually I did make some friends, some of them who now are my lifelong friends. But I want you to try to remember that if you have felt that way of being an outsider, there are ways we hear other people talk about what they believe, and we go, "Wow, I don't believe any of that," or we just know we're different in some way. That the world is full of extroverts, but I'm an introvert. The world is full of white people, but I'm a person of color. The world is full of heterosexuals, and as much as I've tried, I'm just not. The world is full of conservatives, and I'm a liberal. The world's full of liberals, but I'm a conservative. Everybody I see is an evangelical Christian, except me. And we feel like an outsider at best or a pariah at worst. And so we have this story today. You kind of help us out with that feeling. Because you talk about an outsider. Zacchaeus was. I want to explain why. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. And he was not just a tax collector. He was the chief tax collector in that town, Jericho. Jericho was very wealthy. They had balsam trees that made a lot of money for people. And they had all kinds of other industries going on. And he could tax those. And the thing about a tax collector is Palestine was invaded by Rome. And so they were an occupied country. And so they got local Jewish people to be the tax collectors for Rome. So for the local people, it was like, you know, they're traitors. They're traitors to us because they're collecting money for Rome. And what Rome says is, look, here's what you find out what they owe. And then you can just tack on whatever you want for you. And so that's why they were despised. And, you know, we had a story last week about a tax collector. And so they took people's money. They took people's money. That's stealing. I mean, if you think the IRS feels like stealing now, then I do. You wait till then. And it says here that Zacchaeus was rich. How'd he get rich? He got rich for taking people's money in his town. So nobody wanted to be friends with him. And that is what he traded. He traded friendship for money, for being rich. And he couldn't go to synagogue. He couldn't worship like everybody else. He was an outsider. He was like the ultimate outsider. And so here's what Jesus did with him. And here's how they interacted. And it shows you a lot of what God thinks about outsiders. First, Jesus is headed to Jerusalem. He knows he's going to die. Started in chapter 9, this is 19. So he's been headed to Jerusalem for a while. And so he has to go through Jericho, which is right outside. And he goes through this town of Jericho. And the word gets around that he's coming. And what's interesting is that it says that he says he entered Jericho, was passing through it. And a man there was named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, not a regular tax collector. He was a chief tax collector, so it's just even worse. And was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was. And that's key here. Who is Jesus? And that's what we have to see. We have to make up our mind who Jesus is. And that's what Zacchaeus was trying to do. He wasn't just trying to see him. He was trying to make up his mind about him. Say who Jesus is. And he was a short guy. Now, archaeological evidence says that a lot of people back then were short. You know, we didn't have, you know, a lot of people like we have nowadays, people who are over 6 feet. They were all short pretty much from our point of view, but he was shorter than most of them. And so you know how it is. You ever been to a big parade? Our family went to Macy's parade and when Matthew was about five, and we were staying right in Times Square, and we got there on the sidewalks and everything, and there's four people deep in front of us, and Matthew was jumping like he was about that high. And so I put him on my shoulder so he could see, and it was so cold. And then we looked, and right behind us was a McDonald's that had windows, and they were upstairs windows. And we went, there, you know, there's heat in there. So we went in there. But that's kind of the way Zacchaeus was, kind of like Matthew at that parade. All he could see is people's backsides. And so he ran ahead of the whole thing and got in a tree. Got in a tree there's different sycamore, mulberry, whatever. It had big old branches. And he got up there just to see what he could see of Jesus because he wanted to know who he was. And then when Jesus got to the place, he looked up and he said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. So there's a lot of hurrying going on there. He's hurry and come down. And how did he know his name? I don't know. He's God, so maybe that's it. He knew his name, Zacchaeus. Or maybe one of his disciples said, that's Zacchaeus, the tax collector. You don't want to hang out with him. And Jesus says, oh, yes, I do. And see, you see this with Jesus all the time. He is constantly befriending these outsiders. He's constantly befriending people who don't nobody wants to have anything to do with them. They consider them sinners. And they are. He's been stealing. He's broken the commandment to steal. This is what's so hard for us to get our head. It's not that they were mistaken about him. They were not mistaken. He was. He stole from people. And Jesus is always spending time with people who do not keep the commandments, who do not follow the laws of God. And that causes controversy because everybody's going, what's he doing? Why doesn't he stay with us, the good people? Because we're good. And they're not. And if he's from God, he ought to be with the good people because we're trying. And this guy is not. And so verse 7, all who saw it began to grumble and said, he's going to be a guest of one who's a sinner. Now, before, you know, last week it was the Pharisee who was saying, thank you, God, I'm not like this tax collector. And this is not just the Pharisee. This is everybody. No, but all are grumbling about Jesus and say he is going to be the guest of a sinner, because it just wasn't right. To be right with God, you follow the rules, you keep the commandments, and here is one who, by his chosen profession, his work, constantly breaks the commandment not to steal. Why is Jesus spending time with a covenant breaker, a commandment breaker? They say he has gone to be the guest of one who's a sinner, and they're right. But what they're forgetting is this, and what Jesus knew and what he's trying to say is this, that everybody's a sinner. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is none who is righteous, not even one. And so when we start to point at somebody who's a sinner, we're making ourselves feel better about us because we're following the rules that we like. And we don't realize that we are. And what Jesus is trying to say to them, the whole world, is, hey, all y'all are the same. He said it in Hebrew, but all y'all are the same. Nobody's different. And you're all sinners. And I like to hang out with everybody. But some of you need to be coaxed back in a little ways, coaxed back in. Because he's not getting soft on sin. He's going to die. He is going to die for that guy's sin. He's not soft on it at all. But Jesus had no other choices than to hang out with sinners because everybody was. It was like I was doing the Bible study this past Tuesday, and it's the part where it's the call of the four fishermen. And you know the story where they throw the nets out and Jesus cast over here and Peter says, Lord, you know, we've been out here all night and caught nothing, but at your word we'll do it. And they cast it over there and they get all this fish. And Peter realizes, man, this is a miracle. And so he says, depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinner. And he thinks this can disqualify him for being a disciple. I am a sinner. And Jesus goes, hey, that's all I got to choose from. You know, we are all sinners. That's all I got. And so this is what the point he's trying to make here. And so he welcomed Zacchaeus, and then the most amazing thing happens. Jesus doesn't tell him to repent. In here, he doesn't say, hey, man, you need to stop this. You need to stop cheating people. He doesn't say a word. He says, hey, I want to have lunch with you today. And all of a sudden, the acceptance of Jesus transforms Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus says, because everybody starts grumbling, and then Zacchaeus goes, okay, look, half my possessions I'll give to the poor, and if I've defrauded anyone of anyone, I'll pay them back four times as much. And he does that on his own by just being welcomed and loved by Jesus. And he's making restitution for all the stuff he's done wrong. And so I think we got to talk about sin again. It's like, yes, it matters that we sin. God gave commandments so that we would not hurt each other and so that we would not hurt ourselves. The commandments are a great good, and following commandments is a great good. But what we turn it into is a way to say we're in and they're out, that we're better than them. And we get blind to the places where we don't follow. And so Jesus is not excusing sin here. He's not saying, hey, it's okay what you do, keep doing it. He's going to die for that guy's sin. But he says, I love you anyway. I welcome you anyway. And that's what he says to you and me today. We obey God out of love for God. We obey God because God has given us so much, and we want to show love back to God by obeying commandments. You know, love your neighbor as yourself. That is a great thing to obey. And what Jesus wants to do is embrace all of us and gather us all in and outsiders. And you look at that list I started with. You know, Jesus wants to bring extroverts and introverts, white people and people of color, heterosexuals and homosexuals, the world of conservatives and liberals, evangelicals and non-evangelicals. Anybody who feels like an outsider is welcome in the community of Jesus Christ. Anybody. And so then this change in Zacchaeus makes Jesus really happy. And in verse 9, Jesus says to him, "Today salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." Do you remember that story from a few weeks ago about the bent over woman? Do you remember that story we talked about? And at the end, all they saw of her was this bent over woman, and Jesus saw somebody who had been afflicted with guilt for a long time. And he calls her what? A daughter of Abraham. He brings her back into the community. And this is what he's doing today with Zacchaeus. He says, "Today salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham." He is in our group. He is in our community. He is not a pariah. He's not an outsider. He is with us, and I am with him. And the other thing, always remember about that word salvation, or, you know, we kind of throw it around, get saved, you know, salvation. Are you saved? You know, all that. The word in Greek is sozo. And sozo has a double meaning. It means saved, but it also means healed. It means both of those things. And I always try to keep that because the getting saved part gets so easy as Christians say, be saved, be saved, be saved. Sorry. But then when it says be healed, that opens up that meaning. And so what Jesus is also saying is today, healing has come to this house. All by Jesus including him. That is the power of including people. That is the power of including everyone, regardless of their track record. There's no ins and outs in the kingdom of God. We're all included in the kingdom of God. And it's so clear here that healing has come to this house because Jesus has made him a son of Abraham, included him again. So where do we need to be healed today? Where do we, you and me, where do we need to be restored today? In all the ways you have been excluded. That's what I asked you in the beginning. Think about the ways you felt an outsider, the ways you've been excluded and rejected, just like Zacchaeus. Jesus wants to include you too. Jesus wants to sit in your house and be with you too. I'm going to close with two quotes that I really, really love. One is from this, I told you about this before, this devotional app called Devotional 365 or D365. And it really is good. Every day you got a little devotion there. It's got a prayer. It's got music. It's got scripture. And it's on the lectionary. So if I'm preaching the lectionary, it has to do with my sermon. So I always check it out. And this guy named Bill Ogletree is doing it this week. And here's what he said. "Leave it to Jesus to offer radical grace. I love this story because it reveals the heart of our Lord." Now listen carefully here. Jesus loves and cares for all, not just those who read the Bible, and those who go to Sunday school, not those who are just a certain color or who look, love, and practice their faith the way we do. It's so clear here. Jesus responds to Zacchaeus, someone thought to be a sinner, someone who had abused his position for personal gain. Zacchaeus made an effort, and Jesus responded. And this last paragraph really got to me. He said, "Are you feeling too different to be loved? Too sinful, too unattractive, too left out? I've got wonderful news. Step forward in faith, and Jesus will respond. Don't believe anyone who tells you otherwise." And the final quote, this is just, I love this, and I know I've done it before, but it's worth doing more than once. This is from Paul Tillich. "Sometimes a wave of light breaks into our darkness, and it is as though a voice were saying, 'You are accepted.' You are accepted. Accepted by that which is greater than you and the name of which you do not know. Do not seek for anything. Do not perform anything. Do not intend anything. Simply accept the fact that you have been accepted. If that happens to us, we experience grace. Let's pray together. Lord, many of us have felt like outsiders from time to time. And some of us this day feel excluded and outside. Thank you, Lord, for living a life that shows how you include people who others are calling sinners. Thank you for loving everyone and wrapping your arms around all of us. In Jesus' name, amen.